Hello everyone, my name is Ke Huan Zhang. Today I will introduce the work on keystroke eavesdropping on multi-user system. This is a joint work with my supervisor, Professor Xiaofeng Wang at Indiana University. In this talk, I will report a new discovery of vulnerabilities in the shared information on multi-user systems. I will present a tag as an example. This attack allows the malicious adversary to infer the key input by the victim. Multi-user system has been widely used in the past and still plays a key role today. Information sharing on multi-user system is important because users need such information for better collaboration and make best use of the system. Here's an example. Suppose there's an electronic design automation server, which has only one valid license to do circuit simulation. And there are two users, Alice and Bob. Alice wants to start a simulation task. But before this, you want to know if Bob has already started a similar task and check out the license. This two-code top could help Alice to get this information. This is the output of the top program. From this, we can learn who have logged into the system and what processes they are running. As we all know that a multi-user system is an access control mechanism which forbids one user to access another user's information without permission. However, users do need to share some kind of information. So there's one solution. The process file system on the multi-user systems. The process file system is a pseudo file system which is dynamically generated at boot time and provides information about the system and each process. Here's the list of the directory slash prog on Linux system. On the right side of a directory named after the process ID, which provides information about each process, and on the right side of files which provides information at the system level. Let's see example. The interrupt file tells us something about interrupters, such as the interrupt names, how many times they have been triggered. The slab info file tells us something about the slab location, which may reflect the kernel activity. For example, if we made a socket system call, the information about the socket inode cache will be changed. Process file system also provides detailed information about each process. Here's the list of the directory. Let's see some example. The state file provides some pretty detailed information about the process, such as the image name, the starting address of the stack, and the current ESP or EIP register values. The maps file tells the memory layout of the process, such as the image name, the starting and ending address of the image. This information may be used to defeat the address space layout randomization scheme. All information mentioned above are globally readable to every user on the multi-user system. And we should point out that the privacy implication of this shared information should not be ignored. In this paper, we will focus on the keystroke inference. We believe that the other attacks are possible. For example, we can trace the program execution paths and infer the user behavior or input data and defeat the address space layout randomization. I will give you a view overview of our attack. Suppose there is a multi-user system and which enables two different users, the victim and the attacker, to log into the system at the same time and starting a process simultaneously. So under the access control mechanism, the attacker's shared process cannot access the victim process information. But since there is a shared information channel, such as the process file system, the victim's process to be able to access the victim process information such as the ESP or EIP values. So when the victim is typing, the process is running and changes the ESP EIP register values. These changes could be observed by the attacker's shared process, which will be output as ESP traces. From the ESP traces, the attacker can get the keystroke timing and then the keystroke contents by analyzing the timings. Kistrel inference has been well studied by previous work, such as analyzing the SSH traffic done by the Dunson in 2001, and the keyboard acoustic analysis techniques by many people. And the previous talk had given us a wonderful talk about the electromagnetic emanation analysis about the keyboard. Our work is different to the, from them in the three aspects. First, we proposed a new and more accurate way to get the keystroke timings. And previous work, for example, the SSH traffic, they get the keystroke timing from the traffic, network traffic. And this work, we get the keystroke timing from the shared information from the process file system. Secondly, we are able to use the semantic information to improve the result. For example, we can get multiple time sequences for a single password. This is because generally during a short period of time, a user may not change his password. So if within that period of time, we observed multiple times, we observed a user log into the same server multiple times, we can correlate these multiple timings to a single password. And thirdly, we propose novel technology to utilize the information contained in the multiple timing sequences and get better results. As a summary, our paper made following contributions. We discovered a new vulnerability in process file system, and we developed technology to exploit this vulnerability to determine the keystroke timings. And we augment the keystroke analysis techniques with semantic information. Our attack is based on three assumptions. First, we need a multi-user system. And second, we need an account which is capable to execute programs. And third, we need a multi-core CPU. The reason why single-core CPU does not work is that on single-core systems, the attack schedule process cannot run simultaneously with the victim's process, thus unable to get enough data to generate accurate keystroke timing. We need to point out here that although we need multi-core processor, the attack schedule process do not need to occupy exclusively a single core. The attack can work effectively on the realistic workload, as will be mentioned later. Here's the overview of our attack. The attack can be divided into four steps. First, we need to analyze the victim program offline to extract the ESP variation pattern of a keystroke event. And secondly, when the victim is typing, the attack schedule process will log the ESP traces at the background. And then, by analyzing the ESP traces, we can detect the keystroke timings. And finally, we use the hidden Markov model to infer the keystroke timing to get the contents. The ESP pattern is consists of ESP values when a system call is made. This is because syscall, when compared to the normal user-defined functions, syscall is really time-consuming and can be reliably captured by the shared program. According to our evaluation results, most ESP values captured by the shared program are belonging to the system call. The techniques to extract the pattern depends on the program property, either the deterministic, which will run twice with the same input, will output the exactly the same ESP traces, or the non-deterministic, which will run twice with the same input, will output different ESP traces. For the deterministic programs, such as VM and SSHD, we use a differential analysis technique. We use a modified version of S-trace to output the ESP value when a system is made. Here's an example. When we first run the program without any keystroke, suppose we get the first sequence, then we run the program second time, and with a single keystroke, we get another sequence. By comparing these two sequences, we can get the keystroke pattern like this. For the non-deterministic programs, such as GEditor, they are driven by random system events, such as cursor blinks, screen refresh, and disk buffer flush. So we use the instruction level analysis to extract the pattern. Here's the event loop within the GEditor. The event processing code lies here. So we start output ESP traces here. If current event is keystroke event, and we stop the output ESP traces here when the processing is finished. The next step is to use the shadow process log ESP traces. In order to generate accurate keystroke timings, we need to get as much data as possible. So we have made the program very efficient. We have written it in assembly language. We use only two system calls to get the ESP values. And we use a buffer to reduce the cost to writing data to disk. The next step is to determine the keystroke timings. The challenge here is how to identify a keystroke event from incomplete ESP traces. We resolve this problem by converting it into a longest common sequences subsequence problem. We regard each ESP value as a unique character and use existing dynamic program algorithm to get the results. Here's example. On the top of the figure are ESP patterns, and the bottom of the figure are incomplete ESP traces. By using the longest common subsequence algorithm, we can get the first, find the first match. And again, we can find the next match. The time difference between these two points is the keystroke interval that we need for the further timing analysis. The final step is the key inference. We use the hidden Markov model and the NVATB algorithm proposed in previous work. Our contribution is that we are able to leverage the information contained in multiple timing sequences to improve the results. I will use this figure to explain how to use multiple sequences to get better results. Suppose there are two keystroke pairs, Q1 and Q2, and their keystroke interval timing conforms to the normal distribution, which is confirmed in previous research and our study. So the limitations of a single timing sequences is that even Q2, even if the keystroke pair Q2 has taken place, the observed timing could fall into this area and leading a false decision. However, if we have multiple timing sequences, we can avoid this problem. There are two approaches. The first is averaging. In this figure, we have got seven timings, and some of them support the keystroke Q1, and some of them support the keystroke of pair of Q2. However, by averaging these timings, we can get single timing, which is very close to the mean of keystroke pair Q2. And now it's very easy for us to make a correct decision. Another approach is using the combined probability. By multiplying the probability of each observation, in this figure, we can see that the combined probability of keystroke pair Q2 is greater than that of the keystroke pair Q1. So again, we can reach a correct decision. Now let's move to the evaluation part. There are two things to be evaluated. The first is the first is accuracy of the keystroke timing detected. And the second is the performance of a key sequence inference. We use VIM, SSHD, and GEditor as examples. This evaluation work is done on Intel dual-core platform with 3 GB RAM and use Red Hat Linux Enterprise 4 as operating system. This table lists the compares the measured timing and the real timings. From here, we can see that most of them are equal, and the difference between them are very small. So our measured timing is very accurate. This figure shows that the percentage of keystroke detected versus the CPU usage. From this figure, we can see that our shared program can detect the most keystrokes if the CPU usage is below 5%, and in some cases, even when the CPU usage is 10%. This figure shows the CPU usage history of three real-world servers at the university. The one server is for the classroom usage. One server is for course project, and one server is for user to edit and upload the personal web server personal web pages. From this figure, we can see that most of the time the CPU usage is below 4.5%. The next step is to evaluate the effectiveness of the password inference. We done this work in following steps. First, we acquire the training data for the HMM, and then we generate three passwords randomly. We get 15 timing sequences for each password, and then run the hidden Markov model to generate a list of guessed passwords. We then identify the position of the real password on the list, and finally calculating the percentage of the search space. Here's the result. The baseline is using the single timing sequences, which we can see that we can speed up the searching speed by about 20 times. The other two results is using the multiple timing sequences. The first is using the average timing, and the second is using the combined probability. Both of them can speed up the password searching by 200 to even 2,000 times. We also use the similar technology to infer the English word. Here's the basic steps. First, we build a dictionary, and then draw words from the dictionary randomly. And we get a single keystroke timing for each word, and then ask the hidden Markov model to output a list of guessed words. We can delete the invalid output, which is not appear in the dictionary. And finally, we find the position and calculate the percentage. Here's the result. We can see that almost 40% of the tested words appear within the first 10 on the list generated by hidden Markov model. Although our work is done on Linux platform, other Unix-like systems also have similar vulnerabilities. This is Unix-like system like the BSD or OpenStories. They do not provide ESP or EIP information, but they do provide CPU time information for the system call. So it is also possible to identify the calling of the system calls. We have put the details into our paper. So as to the defense technology, we suggest to patch the kernel, but more importantly, we need to complete evaluation about the information leakage through the shared information channel. As a conclusion, in this paper, we report a new discovery of the privacy vulnerability in the process file system, which is widely used in most Unix-like systems. We present an attack as example. This attack allows attackers to infer the key input by the victims. We believe that other attacks are possible, and the research of these other attacks and possible potential mitigation technology are left for our future work. So that's my talk. I'm happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
We have time for questions. Please use the microphone.
So one thing that struck me listening to this is a couple, 10 years ago maybe longer, there were attacks against SSL, which were timing attacks, which tried to guess whether a bit was zero or one by the amount of computation or time that was used. And as I recall, the mitigation for this was to do fake computation, which would execute a different code path, which would be detectable using your instruction pointers. I'm wondering if you've considered using your attack to identify secret SSL keys on a given server.
Sorry, I'm not understanding the point of the question.
The question is, instead of using keystroke timing to detect a typed-in password, using instruction offsets within the SSL library to detect SSL keys.
Can the same technique be used to recover SSL keys as you're using to recover keystrokes?
Okay. I think it's possible. If the user type this password on a multi-user system, which the attackers have access to, I think it's possible to attack the SSL password. But since our attack do not use the network traffic, so if the password is hidden in the traffic, we cannot detect this password.
Use the mic so people can hear you.
By the way, for the question you just asked, I think it's very interesting. Actually, the important is we can use the electric is possible for shadow process involving the execution of another program. So if the monitoring is a fine granularity, and then this we can use an vehicle and the execution of the program somehow released it to the data, then it might be possible to feed out data. For example, if the you know is the key is somehow determining the execution path of a program. And if then a specialization operation has been performed in the encryption algorithm, and it is if this whole process actually is and it can capture sufficient amount of information, and I think a big out SSP is possible.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hard to see under the interrogation lights here. So. If no other questions, let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.